Blog Talk Radio.
It's almost time. You right there with the pretzel. Time to sit down.
Cruise, man. Yeah.
Hey, you going to the concession stand. You going to the bathroom. Come back. The show's about to start.
Got my boys. We out here ready. We about to be some high-flying, high-slamming, slammer-jammer, three-point shooting between the legs, behind your back, through your legs, on your neck. Hey, everybody, if you guys can get in your seats, I'm going to sing the national anthem.
Ready.
It's time to put down the babies. Put down the pepperoni.
Let's go.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Game time! Well, I always got to get my countdown from the boys at the University of Virginia as they count in the show. Bring the show up to us again. Once again, this is M.H. Scott, your host of the Parents Coaching Parent Network, and we're bringing it to you live from the Blog Talk Network scene. All right. But, you know, today we have a very important show. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking to you parents, but I'm going to share some information with you. And hopefully you'll be ready for this information. Again, I'm going to give you the heads up, the warning, everything else that you need. Get your pen and paper out because we got another dynamic show. If you ain't ready for it, you're going to miss it. If you're not ready for it, I'll tell you again, you're going to miss it. You know, we got a very special guest in this afternoon, and you heard me tweet about it. You heard me send out messages on Facebook and all other different types of social media as far as getting information out there to you. We have a very special guest on today. You know, I'm going to go straight into my show. Hopefully we'll get back around to getting out my man, Mr. Keith Wright, with some good information. But I'm going to go straight into my show right now. Let's go ahead and make things happen. Again, got any questions, give us a call, 646-929.
All right.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. This is Michael Scott from the Parents Coaching Parent Network. I'm your host, and we have another promising show this afternoon. And we're going to get right into our show without further ado because this has been a show, as I was talking to my guests a few minutes ago, been a show that we've been trying to get together for quite some time. But let me give you a little insight on who my guest is today. And what we're going to be talking about. We're going to be talking about the winning edge. Inner game for winning athletes. Inner game for winning athletes. Some of you are scratching your head right now trying to figure out exactly what am I talking about and where'd you get that title from. But I have a guest on today, and she's going to share some insight on what that's all about and how to get the best out of your game. My guest this afternoon is Ms. Lauren Fogelman. Lauren is a sports peak performance consultant. Her purpose is to help student athletes, parents, listen to this. She helps athletes develop the mindset to reach their peak potential. Having been a psychotherapist since 1985, she has she knows how to identify the core issues and the challenges that are getting in the way of the student-athlete's game and how to tackle them with a laser-focused approach. Laser-focused, that means you pinpoint right in on them and make sure that we get these things knocked out and you get back on track and you get the best out of your game. Lauren has helped her clients reframe their thoughts. You know, you're out there sometime and you need to regather your thoughts. Reframe your thoughts and transform their focus into using a variety of tools that work rapidly and effectively, including among them the understanding of the law of attraction. And I'm going to have to ask her to go into some great detail on that because when I think of the law of attraction, I'm going back and I'm thinking about The Secret. So I'm going to have our guest talk a little bit more about that. But she takes that law of attraction, she combines that with emotional freedom techniques. Emotional freedom techniques. So, parents, I think we're in for a great treat today because she's talking about some things that we haven't touched upon before. Lauren gets results and puts your game back at the top where it's supposed to be. She breaks through barriers without any struggle. Boy, I'm stumbling and bumbling today. Must be the hot weather out here in sunny VA. Lauren's success rate is so impressive because she is very selective about her clients. So those of you who are not really serious about your game and not really serious about improving your game, this is not the person to deal with. She wants you to be serious. She wants you to be focused. She wants to make sure that you are truly concerned with taking your game to the next level. So without further ado, we're going to bring on our guest, Ms. Lauren Fogelman. Lauren, are you there?
I sure am, Michael, and thank you so much for that introduction.
Well, hey, I try. I'm stumbling and bumbling today. I don't know if it's the heat that got the best of me or what's going on, but we're going to get through this and we're going to be all right. So tell us a little bit more about yourself that I didn't cover in the short bio.
Well, basically, how I came to be doing what I'm doing today is a combination of two things. I've been a psychotherapist since 1985, working with the highly driven, motivated individual on really removing the obstacles that was preventing that person from reaching peak potential in their life, whether business, personal, sports, whatever it was. And along with that, I was a later in life athlete myself. At 40 years old, I learned to row. And then a couple years later, I joined the women's competitive racing team. And making that transition into sports, it was the first time I was ever on a team sport, let alone starting to compete. I found things about myself I never knew existed, and I was starting to have some of my own blocks and fears come up. In order to be able to be a great teammate and to be able to do my fair share when racing in a boat, I needed to be able to overcome my own obstacles and started using the techniques that I was using with my own clients on myself and getting results. It was the two things combined that really led me to begin working with athletes and devoting my business, my life to helping other athletes overcome those obstacles themselves so that they can reach peak performance, do better in competitions, and move up in rankings without a struggle.
Okay. And, you know, that's a great thing. And, you know, parents, I want to stress one point here. Lauren said that she was an athlete at herself at 40. And we're not going to try to do no math or figure out, the age and all that kind of stuff. But the impressive part is that she took on that challenge to be an athlete at 40 and started understanding what were some of the factors, what were some of the barriers that actually held her back from being at the top of her game. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I came across something or read something that said that you was very competitive.
Well, I actually, Michael, didn't even know I was competitive until I started racing. And then that competitive side came out in me. And when I was in a race, I was going to give it everything I've got because I wanted to win. And it was really interesting finding that part of me that I didn't know existed up until I began racing. I think other people sorted me, but I didn't see it in myself.
You know, that's the same thing I see in a lot of young student athletes and a lot of children, that they have that competitive spirit, but when they're faced with minor challenges or minor obstacles that get in their way, they back down from it. You know, they don't push forward. So how do they get past that block?
Well, part of what is going on is two different things. One of the things is that they might have thoughts creating certain emotions, and it's getting them, bringing up fears in them, anxieties in them, and it's because of these maybe basic beliefs that they had or things that people have told them that have made something true for them, causing that to happen, and as a result of it, they're becoming over-anxious and might even be holding themselves back during competitions. So it's about looking what they're thinking, what they're saying to themselves when things aren't going well, and my goal is to really work with my athletes by turning a negative into a positive. The other part that's going on is that a lot of times they just don't have enough experience yet, especially when we're talking about younger athletes. Some things just happen with time and practice, and something comes up that catches them off guard, and as a result of that, it distracts them, throwing them off course, and they don't have the strategies or the tools to be able to get their head back in the game and refocus.
So at what age should we start, and you brought up a very good point just then when you were talking about some of the younger athletes and don't have the tools. At what age do we normally start focusing on or trying to help them focus on staying focused?
I believe that can be done at any age where it becomes a learning opportunity, because especially as coaches or parents for these younger athletes, our primary role isn't necessary to win. That's an outcome, but it's really to teach. And if there's something going on where they're losing focus, they're getting distracted, they're getting really hard on themselves and disappointed, or they get beamed by a ball during a bad pitch, and so they develop this fear, then our role, whether it's coaches, mentors, parents, is to really help them learn how to work through that in a positive way, giving them that encouragement, but not doing the work for them. So any age is appropriate. It's just about giving them the information as they can understand it for whatever age they're at.
Okay, that takes me right into my next question, because you mentioned something about coaches, parents, the folks that are there that's outside of that student-athlete or that athlete circle. How do we improve our involvement with helping them become focused or staying focused? Or what type of tools or things do we use to get them back on track?
The first thing is that with most of us, we know when we're not doing something well. And to have someone that they respect or look up to, whether it's a parent, coach, or even another team member, continue to criticize them on that is not helping that person whatsoever. Therefore, what you really want to do is focus on their strengths, help give them solutions, because it might be that they just don't know how to do it differently, and therefore we want to show them the way forward. And that will help them to get out of that struggle, is by helping them to maybe understand why that's happening and to give them the motivation as well as the tools to help them try and do things differently.
Okay. Well, I kind of sort of left you off the hook, but I need to get back to this initial question I wanted to ask. When you talk about the law of attraction, explain how that plays into student-athlete development and their mindset.
It's not just about whether they're on the field, it's how it plays out off the field as well. And basically, you were right there in the introduction that the law of attraction, most of us have heard it from The Secret. However, it's been around much longer than that, and it's in many, many different cultures as well. Basically, in a nutshell, it says that whatever you focus on is expanded and reflected back to you. Therefore, if you're looking for the negative, you're going to see more problems and negativity. If you're looking for the positive, then you're going to be able to find opportunities. If a team is playing against another team that they perceive to be stronger, bigger, better prepared for the game that they're playing at that time, and they feel that they're going to lose, they don't have a chance, they start to have all these anxieties and worries come up, that's because they're focusing on not being able to stand up to that team and do well. And as a result of that, they're likely to have that quote-unquote self-fulfilling prophecy. On the other hand, if they are strongly motivated and really believe that they have what it takes to go up against that team that looks so much more polished than they do, then they're going to find opportunities to push themselves and drive themselves harder than they would otherwise. And as a result, they're going to play a much better game, have a much better outcome than if they just were focused on the fact that that team was so much better prepared than they were and they didn't have a chance.
Okay. Well, I'm listening to that now. I understand all that. Now, I'm going to play a little devil's advocate right
okay.
now. I'm just a little kid, and I really don't understand the whole theory of developing a winning edge and trying to stay positive or stay focused. But, you know, my coach, I heard him talk about from time to time confidence and self-confidence. How does the two relate?
I believe that confidence is powerful. We've all had times in our life where we really wanted to do something and we believe so strongly in doing it, even though other people might have said, don't even try, it's not going to ever work. They tried to talk us out of it, but they maybe didn't believe that we couldn't do it. But we were so motivated and driven to follow through on that we did it anyway. And that is really what this is about finding that motivation, that reason why. What is it that you love so much about your sport that you want to continue to do and do the best you can, and connecting with that strong reason within you, and that's going to give you the drive to really step outside the box, push yourself a little bit harder, and find that motivation even when the odds might seem against you. And we've seen many athletes who have done that in sports, whether it's heroes in American sports or maybe in your own hometown, people that have gone against the odds and really have broken out of the mold.
Okay. Now, on that note, and I'm still trying to think like this young kid or
uh-huh.
this parent trying to figure out, okay, how can I put all this into play? You know, oftentimes parents they believe that they're doing good, and in a lot of cases I think they're doing a lot of harm when they're criticizing or they're trying to do the evaluation of the athlete. Is that really effective, or what is your thoughts on that?
It is powerful. It does affect them. Basically, and it depends on the age of the student-athlete, but as far as coaches go, sometimes parents go, depending how young they are, as adults, we're like their gods. What we say is very, very powerful, and that when we don't believe in them, then we're chipping away at their self-confidence. And eventually, they're going to really believe that to be true. It has a strong influence on them. Therefore, no matter what, it's really our duty to give them the confidence and show them that we believe in them and what they're capable of doing, and to really find where their strengths lie. And it might not be that they're the strongest person on the team, but it might be that they have the most drive and dedication and love for what they're doing, even though they might not be physically the biggest or, have the best stats on that team. So how we approach them and what we say to them has a really big outcome. And you always want to give them that motivation from a positive place of what you want them to do as opposed to what you don't want them to do.
You couldn't have said it any better. You know, parents, you have to listen to that. And if while you're listening to this broadcast and you need to go back and rewind and replay that, you know, it's something that she just touched upon that we often miss out. You know, we think that we need to go out there and criticize, but we're knocking down that self-confidence. We're tearing them up from the inside. We're thinking that we're their biggest critic or their biggest supporter, but in a lot of cases, we're destroying something that we're trying to make positive. But, Lauren, I want to ask this question. How do an athlete start developing that winning spirit, that winning edge, if they notice that their parent doesn't have that same attitude?
Wow, that's really powerful. and that what one of the things I think is important is that we learn from many, many different people in our lives. Our parents are just two people, and that if our parents don't have that, maybe there's somebody else that you can use as a role model or adopt, because a lot of things that happens with kids, and they're brilliant when they do this, is that they realize their parents might not be able to give them a certain quality they need, because that's just how their parents are. If that's not good or bad, that's just that we can't be all things to all people. And so a lot of times kids will find some other adult, maybe it's a friend's parents or a coach, that can provide that quality that they need and give it to them. So they will learn from more than just their parents alone and hopefully seek that out. On the other hand, it's also important to recognize that there's three different things that really attribute to being a success on as well as off the field, and it is having a vision, so really knowing what you want, whether it's for that season, that game, your sports goal, whatever it is, and then along with having the vision, it's having the motivation, so finding that drive. Why is it that you're driven to do that and want to do it so much? And we all know kids that just walk, talk, live for being on the field and competing. And the third part is taking action. So it's about having the momentum to do whatever is necessary to be able to take those steps and reach your goal. And those are the three qualities that separate winning champions from all the rest.
So let me make sure I got those three qualities right. Having a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Motivation.
Yes.
And taking action.
Yes.
Oh, okay. You couldn't have said that any better. You know, because oftentimes I talk to athletes all the time, and I talk to parents alike, and, you know, I try to stress a similar point to them. You know, I talk to them sometime about what I call life skills. You know,
mm-hmm.
you have your choices and your decisions and your consequences. You know, and I can actually tie that into having the vision, you know, and being motivated to act on it, and seeing your end result being your action that, you know, that's coming out of it. And kind of sort of tying all that in together. But, you know, having the vision and being motivated and taking action on it, you know, goes back to what I was saying about this what happens when you don't have a parent that's thinking positive, and you just answered that part for me by talking about other folks that's maybe in your circle that can motivate you, that can help you focus on what you need to be doing, help you obtain that vision and motivate you to push you forward. You know, I am not Mr. Sports. I can't tell you everything about every sport. But what I do with athletes and what I do with different parents from time to time as well, if I'm not sure about something, I'll try to surround them with other folks that are sure about it.
Right.
Other folks that can help them develop a positive attitude towards it. Like currently right now, I'm using myself as an example. My son's playing football. I've never played football other than maybe, you know, every now and then out there in the middle of the street or over there in the schoolyard or whatever, played a little touch football or whatever. That's my extent of football. So now I'm having to surround myself with folks that understand the game, understand the mechanics of the game, and at the same time, folks that have a true concept of how to better yourself at the game. You know, I can get the average high school kid to go out there and talk to my son about, you know, just playing the game, and he'll understand and he'll pick it up. But now there's other parts where, like today we were sitting in the workshop and, you know, coach started breaking down we was looking at a film, and he was
mm-hmm.
talking to the kids about the film. And just looking at that film, I'm like, wow, there's so much I do not know about this game. He was talking about pieces and slots and corners and DBs and backs and slants and routes, and I was like, whoa, my head is spinning coming out of there. But I'm looking at my son, because I have put folks around him to help him stay focused and get a better understanding of that type of stuff, he's soaking it all in. You know, he's picking up on it. He's understanding. So I truly understand when you talk about the vision, motivation, and taking action on things and having the right folks around you to keep all that going and to keep yourself going as well. You know, I guess my next question would be, is there any shortcut to getting that winning edge or that winning attitude? Can I just take a shortcut and skip all the other big processes and go straight to telling myself this is the way I think and have it?
Well, actually, earlier you were talking about the emotional freedom technique that I use, and that is a shortcut that I use with my clients that gives me immediate results with them. Because what happens is that we have certain thoughts, we have beliefs, we have ways of seeing things, and it's very hard to be able to detach from that. And when certain circumstances happen, it brings up a lot of emotion for us. What I have seen is the emotional freedom techniques is similar to acupuncture but without any needles, and that I can do with my clients and even teach my athletes how to do it themselves so that when they have too much anxiety or fear or losing focus, they can actually quickly do this in a very discreet way on themselves, and it helps them to really get back in the game or calm down their nerves. And it's not that you don't want them to have any anxiety whatsoever, because a little bit is good. It gets you a little bit more heightened awareness and focus, but too much is going to work against any athlete also. So the emotional freedom techniques is my secret weapon that I use to help athletes really believe the positive, be able to get out of a rut, get out of a struggle, and work towards their goals that they want for themselves.
Whoa, okay. And I'm going to have to stay in tune with you and stay in touch with you to get a little bit more about this emotional freedom technique. I'm out here at the great age of 50-plus, and I'm out here trying to exercise and do various things from time to time, and out here getting involved in other different sports and just keeping myself active as well.
Mm-hmm.
And, from time to time, I find myself with a little block to say, do I really want to do that? But it's something I've already been engaged in, something I'm already in tune with, So it's somewhere along the line I'm going to have to figure out how to get past those days of being blocked like that.
Exactly. And it's the bottom line is that when you have those negative thoughts, those obstacles you come up against, it creates a certain energy and you get into a resistance or a struggle. Therefore, my goal is to look at that energy block, and using the emotional freedom techniques, I can just go ahead and release that energy around whatever the obstacle is so that you're moving towards a solution or your desired goal, as opposed to struggling trying to get rid of a problem.
Okay. Well, Lauren, here recently, I think on one of these television stations, USA or what's the name? They just recently started airing a show called Unnecessary Roughness.
Right.
Have you seen that show?
Actually, I don't have a TV, so I haven't.
Okay. All right. Hey, I can go along with that as well. But something told me I to look at that show, and it caught my attention when I seen the previews. And it was about a, I'm assuming she's a therapist, and somehow she becomes connected with a football team, and she's working with this receiver because he can't catch the ball. He can't even catch a cold. So in other words, everything that comes to him, he drops it. And as a result, I guess she's working with him. I was going to ask you if you were familiar with that to tell the audience.
I actually am familiar with the show. A couple people have talked to me about it, and that it's just recently come out because they know what I'm doing. So go ahead and ask your question. I'll answer it the best I can, even though I've never watched the show myself.
Well, first, I was wondering if you were the technical advisor, but, but you know, I was trying to give the parents an understanding of how a show like that relates to what you actually do,
mm-hmm.
because it's running right along the same lines.
Basically, what I would say is I haven't seen the show, but from what it sounds like is athletes live very much in their bodies. And when they get into some type of struggle, whether it's a slump, they choke, they end up with the yips, whatever it might be, their first line of approaching it is going to be from a strategy, technical approach. And a lot of times athletes believe in no pain, no gain. So they go into mental toughness of white-knuckling something, just trying to grit their teeth and bear it out, get over it, whatever that might be. And it actually, using that approach, tends to dig them deeper into that struggle. And therefore, what I would really say is that athletes that actually seek out working with a sports psychologist and someone that can help them with the performance coaching and their mental game is going to be a better athlete because of the fact that when you compete, on game day itself, it's success and winning is 90% mindset and your mental game. And only 10% physical abilities at that point, because at that point you've done all the training you can, and now you have to show what you've got. But what athletes do is they train 90% on physical training and maybe 10% on mindset. So my goal, and I'm believing that what the show is about, is really bringing the mental game training, building that mental muscle into their training program so that they're much more well-rounded, and they're going to have better results when competing.
All right. All right, then, ladies and gentlemen, we've been talking with Ms. Lauren Fogelman from the Inner Game for Winning Athletes, you know, talking about that inner mindset, that thought that takes you to the next level, takes you to your championship stage in your life and your mindset. Lauren, in closing, leave us with some great thoughts. Something that you can share with our audience that have them thinking, and we can go from there.
Yes, two things. First is that if they want to find out more specifically some strategies that they can use themselves, I actually have a free starter kit available at my website, innergameforwinningathletes.com. And if they go and put in the name and email address, they'll immediately get the free starter kit, the 7 mistakes even the best athletes make. And that way they can take some of these principles and help their student athletes, or if they're an athlete themselves, apply it and start to get that winning edge. And the other thing is my goal and my focus is always to turn a negative into a positive, because you're going to have a different way of showing up. You're going to see opportunities that you wouldn't see otherwise, and it's going to give you an edge over the competition.
All right. Give it to us one more time on how we can reach you.
Yes. If anybody wants to have a free 20-minute consult with me, they can contact me at Lauren, so that's L-O-R-E-N, at innergameforwinningathletes.com. And if they want to get my free special starter kit, 7 Mistakes Even the Best Athletes Make, go to my website, innergameforwinningathletes.com, put in your name and email address, and you'll get that right away.
All right. Again, if you have any questions or you come to any concerns and you don't remember how to get in touch with Ms. Lauren Fogelman, you can always reach out to the Parents Coach and Parent Network, and we will definitely make that connection for you. As always, that's what we do. Our mission is your success. And if we can help you out, we're going to be there for you. Well, Lauren, we thank you for coming. You know, we thank you for coming on this evening and sharing that information with us. Of course, of course. We'll have you back on again. We'd love to have you back on again because Parent Culture Parent Network is here to strengthen information and knowledge that we can share with our parents and our listening audience, athletes alike, and make sure that they have a better understanding and get to their goal and their successes in life. Again, you've been listening to the Parents Culture Parent Network. If you had any questions or anything, again, we'll be back up on the air again next Wednesday at noon, 12 o'clock noon, high noon, that is. And you can always reach us at 646-929-2416, 646-929-2416. Or you can send us an email if you have a question at pcphr@aol.com, pcphr@aol.com. And, you know, we also branched out nowadays. We're doing a little thing on Twitter. So you can also follow us on Twitter at PCP Network, PCP Network. That's what we're at on Twitter, at PCP Network. And that PCP stands for Parents, Coach, and Parent Network. You know, I always have to close out with my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Keith is a student at the University of Harvard, does great things up there. And Keith has been my man for quite some time, and he shared this little piece with us about a year and a half ago, and I've been playing it every show. Have to, because what he says in this song, a lot of student-athletes need to listen and get a full understanding of what he's talking about. Can I get my man, Mr. Keith? Where you at, Keith?
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then me ball would do the same. I can't complain the situation that I'm in. Meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen. But I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and the knowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart moves. That's how I do.
After Keith sharing with us,
Keith
said, making smart moves. I actually had the opportunity to interview Keith and a couple other student athletes last year sometime. And, you know, one of my questions to Keith was, you know, how do you balance or how do you juggle that college schedule at the University of Harvard and play ball? You know, and he told me a lot of good, great things that he shared with us, and you know, time management and being responsible and taking on that independent attitude that you have to get things done. There's not going to be anybody there to stand over your shoulder if you want to get out there and play. You know, that's all part of that great attitude that these young men have. You know, along on that very same call, I had a young man by the name of Vernon Macklin, and Vernon was just drafted by the Vernon, I'm so sorry. I didn't remember who you were drafted by. Vernon was drafted number 54 by the Detroit Pistons, and also had my son on, Mike Scott, who's currently playing at the University of Virginia. And, you know, them guys shared some good information with us as far as the transition from high school to college, You know, and all of them have gathered that inner game, you know, winning attitude. You know, they're out there, they're playing, they're hungry for the game. They, you know, they're pushing themselves on and on. And, you know, as a result, it's all showing at the end. It's all showing at the end what they've been able to do and how far they've been able to take their life and their stages in their life just by having that attitude. And I wish all three of them young men great success and all the other athletes out there that's getting into the sport. And for those high school and middle school student-athletes and parents of those athletes, hey, it's all about developing, establishing, and maintaining it. Developing, establishing it, and maintaining it. You know, what we say here at the Parent Culture Parent Network, our mission is your success. That's what we stand on. That is what we stand on. So, again, we thank you this afternoon for coming on the air with us, listening to our show. It has been another great show. We'll be back out here again next week. I'm your host, M.H. Scott. And I'd like to say, on that note, we're out of here. One more time, Keith, just to close us out.
Student of the game, had people frontin' talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know what would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then be ball would do the same.